Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Once again, it's great to be here. I've enjoyed this so much. It's been an honor. Looking forward to what God has in store. And a couple of things. One is, of all the things that Donna said up here in her announcement, you know what I remember most? We have shoppers. That means that you can do what I did. I don't say this boastfully, just to set an example. Just give. Keep her busy. Keep them busy. Make them a little bit nervous and make them looking for boxes for other churches, because I do believe we need a challenge. And could this be the best year yet for boxes? Even during the midst of this virus, so I'm challenging God speaking to some of you. Make a gift, and you can do that. Even you may feel funny, no, I don't feel right about that. If I'm going to do it, I need to go out and do the shopping. That's okay, because, you know, that's not my favorite thing to do, is to go into these places. I do fairly often, but whether it's Dollar General Store or Walmart or wherever, you know, but somebody will do it for you, so I challenge you. Be brave, be generous. This is going to be the best year yet for boxes at Crossroads. We're going to celebrate that. The second thing is, I have before me this little book. Remember what I said, they're out here. I'm preaching a series of messages called Faith Essentials. The books are out there. I'll remind you again, they're $5, and I'm not getting the money. Who knows? I don't know where the money is going. Maybe they'll put it toward boxes. It'd be a wonderful thing. But I challenge you, get one, and also get one for someone else. It's very simple to read, and you will. It'll help you. Not because I did it, because the Spirit guided me. Got about 37 minutes here, maybe a few less, but we're in a series on Faith Essentials. These are essentials of the faith. These are the things that really matter. Why did I do this? Because I had a burden. I thought people don't know what they believe anymore. If you were brought before a council with Hindus and Muslims and Jews and atheists, and someone said, hey, here's your chance. I'm giving you open mic 3 or 4 minutes. Tell me why I should believe like you believe. What is it that you have that I don't have that I should want? Heaven forbid, would you just say, I just know I've always gone to church and always thought it was the right thing. Surely you have a better answer than that. Do you have your little elevator speech ready to tell someone what it means to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me give you this little scenario. Let's just say tonight. I think it's going to be a beautiful fall night, isn't it? As far as I know, it's going to be a beautiful fall evening. Let's just say that you were out on a dinner cruise up on is Lake Lanier close by? What, 45 minutes away, 30 minutes? You're out on a dinner cruise on Lake Lanier on a big pontoon boat. And you're enjoying your evening. All of a sudden, you hear screaming and splashing, and you look a few yards away, and somebody's drowning. You're like, oh my, this person is going to drown. So you look on the side of that pontoon boat, and there's a life ring. There's that little safety ring. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So you have the opportunity to take that and toss it out to the person so that their lives can be saved. Now, you're going to do that, aren't you? I bet if you lined up 1,000 people, 1,000 people would say, yes, of course. Of course, we just have that innate desire within us, don't we, to help someone and to save someone's life. So I present to you on an infinitely larger scale, look around. It's quite evident. Folks all around us are spiritually drowning. And it's much worse. It's much worse. That second death is going to be much worse than the first death. And you have a chance to do something. Maybe they're not literally drowning in water, but they're drowning in a sea of sin and confusion and misinformation. And you can throw out the lifeline. That's the message for today. I want to present to you someone who did just that from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza, the desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he came to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, this passage of Scripture he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation from his life, and for his life is removed from the earth?" The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth. Beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came up to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Isn't that awesome? Lord, I pray you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. This will be a very simple message on evangelism. Oh, it's not a subject that we want to talk about, is it? Brings a little guilty feeling to us, but would you be here right now, if someone had not prompted you and encouraged you, a Sunday school teacher, a grandparent, somebody prompted you, someone took initiative. Don't you like those folks who will take initiative on behalf of the Lord? It seems like we've become such a shy, fearful people. God's looking for those with initiative that will take a chance on his behalf, and Philip models this. Three principles. Number one, God prompts those sensitive to his spirit. I'm going to say it again. God prompts those sensitive to his spirit. And what that means is you're not alone. That means that person that you could share your faith with, God is already working in their hearts too. Did you know that? God prompts those sensitive to his spirit. But anyway, here is Philip, and God is certainly prompting him. When I think of Philip, I think, oh, Philip, one of the disciples. No, Philip was not one of the disciples, but he was one of the early deacons, and he is fresh off of a preaching campaign in Samaria. Can you imagine those early days when the church was just teeny-weeny, and yet it was growing leaps and bounds exponentially day by day? A couple of things here. God prompts. So first I want you to see that an angel appears. Look in verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, by the way, next week, I'm just giving you a little heads up, the message is on angels. I hope you're looking forward to that as much as I am. A message dedicated to angels. But you look in the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, angels are all around. They minister, they announce, they guide, they guard, and defend. There are some angels that are named. There's the angel Michael. And then there's the grandest of them all, the angel Gabriel. Remember, God's hero who was there to announce the birth of Christ. And angels, I can tell you, are still at work. The Bible says in Psalm 91, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. You're thinking, man, wouldn't that be wonderful? I met one person years ago who was sure, and I believe him, he's a credible man. He said, an angel appeared at the foot of my bed during a very difficult time. And you may say, I sure wish an angel would appear to me. Boy, that would just turn me around. If an angel would just appear to me, I would get right with God. I would be excited once again in the faith. I submit to you, there is something or someone better than an angel appearing. You know where I'm headed with this, don't you? I love this passage of Scripture. It fascinates me because there's an angel that appears to Philip, and then just a few verses later, who then speaks to him? The Holy Spirit. Now, why is that? Because that's how much God wants to get this message across. Then the Spirit said to Philip. This is so important. An angel says it once, and the next time a spirit swoops in and says, go up and join this chariot. I've said this, and when you look back on this time that I was with you, I hope you'll remember. Boy, it seems like old preacher Todd was always talking about the Spirit. That's because I'm always talking about the Spirit, because you must be filled with the Spirit. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in to reside. And I hope and pray that He isn't just residing, He's presiding. He has taken charge. I can't tell you the number of times that I felt the nudging of the Spirit. The nudging of the Spirit. It might be on a Tuesday afternoon at the convenience store when I go in, or maybe, you know, different time. I wish I could say every single time the Spirit nudges, I say yes. I wish I could say that, but sometimes I don't. But I'll tell you this, when I say yes, there's always a blessing in store. The work of the Holy Spirit. God prompts those. God prompts those that are sensitive to His Spirit. And there is the angel. But remember, angels are created, right? And then there's the Holy Spirit, creator. Maybe God is prompting some of you today. Isn't there someone you can think about? Is there anyone that you know? I want you to raise your hand. You think, there's someone that I know that as far as I can tell, they are lost and do not know Jesus Christ. Raise your hand. Hands all over this building. So my prayer is that you will find a way to say something to that person. So God prompts those that are sensitive to His purpose. Now listen to this. And I gave you a little hint of this earlier. I got that out and I'm going to build on it here. God pricks those who have not discovered the truth. Did you know that? And I'm going to say again what I said before. You're not alone. You're not alone. If you were 100% on your own and alone without divine help, it would be difficult. And no, I would not want to be engaged in that. But you go to that person, that, and if it's a family member, it's even more difficult. But you go to that person knowing that God has gone ahead of you. God pricks those who have not discovered the truth. So the character in point number one was Philip, right? The main character in point number two is the Ethiopian eunuch. Now let's talk about him for a minute. The Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says, a leader, a court official of Candace. He was going to Jerusalem to worship. Now this man, I truly believe, was a God-fearer. He was almost there, but he wasn't there yet. And I want to tell you, folks, I'm going to say it, and I think it's even easier to say now as the years have gone by. Our church rolls are full of God-fearers. Did you hear what I said? Our church rolls are full of God-fearers, people that, wow, I mean, there's a God out there, and I suppose I should have joined the church. But I'm not sure that some of them ever have that saving relationship with Jesus Christ. They're there, but they're not quite there. That was the Ethiopian eunuch. He wasn't there yet. He didn't really understand. He had not yet placed his faith in Jesus Christ. But I believe the church, I believe all around. You know, the person, the most common person now that I talk to, whether it's Cracker Barrel or wherever it might be, you know, if I ask someone about their faith, which I like to do, and I should do it more than I do, but I will tell you, generally speaking, folks will, they're either lost or they're saved, but they aren't going to church anywhere. That's most people now. You know, what percentage of people are actually in church, especially with the outbreak of what we've gone through the last several months? I want you to see what's happened. Look what the Ethiopian eunuch was doing. The Ethiopian eunuch was searching, the Bible says. He had his scroll. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And that'll tell you something. He was what I call an up and out. You see, the Bible is full of up and outs, and the Bible is full of down and outs. There's Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. He was a down and out, and there were some up and outs, quite a few. There's Zacchaeus, right? He was a wealthy man. There's that rich young ruler. I might mention him later. And then there is the Ethiopian eunuch. He's an up and out. Why? The very fact that he was reading his own scroll must recommend that he was a person of some means. It's not like now where everybody had four or five or six copies of the Bible, and that's just the written word. You got them all over your phone and all over your computer. It was rare if someone had a copy of the scriptures because, what, they were all handwritten. There weren't that many around. And he had his own copy of scripture, so he must have been something. So he was searching. And I want to tell you, people are searching. All around us, people are searching. There are Zacchaei, plural, all around us that have climbed up on the top of that sycamore tree, and they're looking for answers. Do you like that, Zacchaei? That's the plural of Zacchaeus. There's a bunch of... So anyway, someone used to call me. He used to say, how are the Gadai, our family? Because it was anyway, that didn't cost you a thing. I chased a rabbit trail. There are Zacchaeus around, up and out. He was searching. You know what else he was doing? I love this, folks. Don't miss this. He was searching, and he was asking. Oh, I could preach a whole other sermon on asking questions. He said, do you understand what you're reading? How could I unless someone guides me? Verse 34, please tell me, who does the prophet say of himself or someone else? Verse 36, what prevents me from being baptized? I want to tell you this, and I submit to you. When God goes to work, people start asking questions. I'm telling you. And they're asking them right now. Maybe you're not hearing them. Maybe I'm not hearing them, but they're asking. Questions. Nicodemus, God was at work in the night. And by the way, another up and out, Nicodemus, a highly religious, lost man. How can a man be born again unless he enters into his mother's womb a second time? And then there's the rich young ruler who walked away from Jesus sad into a Christ of eternity and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? God's at work in the lives of people. I promise you that he is at work, especially during times such as these. And that's the way it's been down through the ages. Because the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives. I remember, do you remember CWT, Mike? Anybody remember CWT? Wow, we're dating. This is 80s evangelism. We had to memorize this, you know, Buku's epistles on evangelism. And not a bad thing, really. I mean, a little cumbersome, but it worked, and lots of people were saved. And I remember from that program, my wife and I did it at South Cliff Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And I remember a claim from that study. The Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of all lost people. The Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of all lost people. And I'm, you know, scratching my head. I don't know the Bible ever says that chapter and verse, but I do believe that. Now, some people, their conscience is seared, isn't it? Their conscience is seared and they're not responding. But I still say he's trying to work. He's trying to get through. He's knocking at the door. So you ought to know that God pricks those who have not discovered the truth. God is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work. What is he doing? He's revealing God's existence. I have people ask me, it's probably one of the biggest head-scratching questions. What about the heathen? What about these people that are living in these godless nations who don't have all the advantages we have, or it's 0.1% that are Christians? God is still revealing himself, if nothing else, and through creation itself. God is revealing himself. They will get that opportunity. I don't know. It's a tough one. Some things I just don't understand. But God is revealing himself through creation. What is the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit is also convicting of sin and convincing and drawing people to Jesus. I hope you'll get that from this message. The Holy Spirit is at work. I wouldn't want to do this alone. When he's gone before you, he's prepared the person. You'll be amazed how often that comes. Eunuchs are all around us, up and outs, the down and the outs, everyone in between. How will they understand unless someone explains it to them? Isn't that piercing? How could I unless someone guides? Could you do that? If you had 2 minutes with a person and then they were going to slip off into a coma and never have a chance again to respond, could you do that? Could you say, God loves you? God loves you. But there's something that stands between man and God. It's called sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't earn our way into heaven. We can't give our way into heaven. The Bible says it's only through Christ. But God demonstrates his love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should folks explain to people you can't earn your way. It's only through Christ. And then there's that clincher verse. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Ask that person. Has there ever been a time? Has there ever been a time when you've prayed? And see, I understand this. If you look at Facebook and read this stuff, that little phrase, asking Jesus into your heart, it's taken a beating these days, right? If you're reading stuff, it's like asking Jesus into your heart. You know, well, I'm not going to poke fun at that. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart, I think that's where that comes from. God raised him from the dead, so I'm not going to poke fun at that. There's all kinds of stuff floating around out there. But ask a person, will you go to heaven? There's nothing. That's okay. Do you believe you'll go to heaven when you die? I think if a person says, hope so, think so, I think, you know, the good I've done has slightly outweighed the bad, so I think I'm in. Doesn't work that way. You can do it. You can do it. I was going to say this at the outreach. The Holy Spirit just prompted me, I think, to say this. The best thing that could ever happen to you is to discover Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, the second best thing, I claim it's a tie. It's a tie for second. It's to lead someone else to Christ and to discover and utilize your spiritual gifts. Is that scriptural? Probably not. But, you know, it's a claim. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just making that claim. The second best thing that could ever happen to you, it's a tie. Leading someone to Christ, discovering your spiritual gifts. One more point. I'm going to close with this. Because you say, I'd like to, preacher. You just don't know. I'd love to lead someone to Christ. I've done it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on that. You know, some of you have. Many of you have, I hope. But you might say, I'd like to. I'm just a little afraid. I'm scared. I fear rejection. What do human beings fear more than rejection. I can't think of many things, can you? Maybe spiders and snakes and public speaking. But rejection is right up there. Oh, we don't want to be rejected, do we? Don't take it personal. I've had many smart, level-headed people in my life. Because I think as a preacher and just the way I was brought up and a little more emotionally driven, I'm prone to take it personal. But I've had people say, don't take it personal. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. Okay, did you hear what I said? Don't take it personal. So here's the point. God provides those willing to obey. You pray for the burden, God opens up that door. He provides for those willing to obey. Some people might say, Philip did what he did because Philip was excited. Philip did what he did because he was enthusiastic. Philip did what he did. All of those things are true, but he was empowered. Did you know that? He was empowered because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So here we go. We got, you know, 8 or 9 more minutes left. And here is the sermon within the sermon. Just worked out that way 2 weeks in a row. Are you ready for this? The sermon within the sermon. The ABC. What's any simpler than that? Philip did what he did because he had authority. He had authority. And it would be unusual for a lowly man like Philip to run up. Don't you love what the Bible says? He ran. He ran to the chariot. And he spoke to that high-level official. Why did he do that? Because he had authority. I drive out of here, and let's say I'm driving, you know, 50 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, and I get pulled over. Heaven forbid, I hope that doesn't happen. But if it does, that officer pulls me over. Why? I sped. But he has the authority to do that, doesn't he? He has the authority to do that. You have the authority to share Christ. God-given authority passed along through Jesus by the filling of the Spirit. You have authority. If someone says, what gives you the right to speak to me in such a way? So I have authority to do this based on God's word. So A stands for authority, okay? You know what B stands for? Boldness. Like I said, why have we become such a... And I think, unfortunately, this, and I understand I do, but this virus has made us even more timid. We've cocooned. And I understand the reason. I'm not making fun of this. We should wear masks. We should take precautions. We should wash our hands. We should social distance. I will not be a person to speak against that. I take it very seriously, and bad things are happening. We need to be careful and pray. But I will tell you, there's no reason to lose your boldness. Because God hath not given us a spirit of timidity. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But of power and of love and of sound mind. Satan is the author of most fear. Now, if you're on the precipice of a cliff, and you're fearful, then that's pretty smart. You ought to be fearful, right? But for the most part, fear is Satan-based. Authority, A. B is boldness. Just take a chance. C is capability. I love this. This is so good. This is a sermon within the sermon. I'll have to cut it short. Look in verse 35 again. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from Scripture, this Scripture, capitalized in my Bible, he preached Jesus to him. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Let's just stop and think before we close. What did the eunuch have? Did a copy of the New Testament? Don't think so, did he? It was not even written yet. I don't even think at that point the first book had been. I believe, you know. So the New Testament was in the process. So what did he have? So these people, you know, I tell people, I'll say it again, Jesus is on the every page of the Old Testament as well. He had the Old Testament scrolls there. He had the prophets unveiled, and he said he preached Jesus. I love preaching from the Old Testament. I like preaching from both. I love illustrating the New Testament with passages from the Old Testament. But Jesus is on every page, folks, I want to tell you. And I think for the most part, people have been pretty understanding. You know, it amazes me that, I can't get off on that. I just got to not get off on the Jews, God's chosen people. They're going to be a turning of the Jews back to Christ as the end times approach. They have the richness of Scripture, and most of them miss Jesus. Pray that they'll see Jesus in those scriptures that they possess. And they're all around us, and this area is full of them. And isn't there a Jewish synagogue just a few miles down the road? I mean, God's chosen people, a special place in his heart. But so Philip was able to find Jesus and point Jesus out from this passage of Scripture. Can you do that? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this Scripture, preached Jesus. It's not rocket science. You don't have to have a seminary degree. Can you preach Jesus to someone? Can you say it, and can you mean it? Do you believe it enough to tell someone about it? Where are we going to be if people don't spread the word? God's depending on us. I read a story about a certain U.S. senator. True story. I don't know what his name was. I don't know what state he was from, but his father lived with him because he was aging. Maybe his mother had passed away. He's living up in Washington. Well, this senator, on this particular night, was hosting the ambassador from Belgium. Big deal. Nice big dinner. And he said, "Now, Dad, I know how you are. You're a pretty religious guy, and you're excited about the Lord, but please, Dad, try to tone it down. Please try to tone it down." Well, of course, as fate would have it, that evening, a little man came down the stairs and met the ambassador from Belgium and said, "Sir, are you a Christian?" Well, it embarrassed the senator, and I don't know what else ensued, but months after that, he died. The old man died. The father of the senator died. And at the funeral, there was a big bouquet of flowers there. And there was a note that said, "In memory of the only man in America that asked me about my soul during my recent visit there, Ambassador Belgium." Throw out the lifeline, folks. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. I still believe all in all people will be honored, privilege that you even thought about them and cared enough to bring up the subject. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. Help us, Lord. We can get up and preach about this. Lord, we're in a friendly group. We're mostly in agreement on this, but Lord, the hard part is going out into the battle zone. Lord, we're in the comfort zone here. The hard part is going out into the battle zone. Lord, place in our path, put someone in our heart, Lord, that we can challenge. Where would we be if someone hadn't challenged us? Guide us now. Empower the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that was there that day when Philip met with that Ethiopian. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand together. This dear band will lead us as we close. The altar is open. You come as you feel led. Maybe you've never made that decision. Maybe you've never made it public. Maybe you've been saved, but you never. I've always found I'm amazed. There are people that have been saved but never baptized. That's another faith essential. We'll talk about that one too later, perhaps. But anyway, you come as we.